Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Golden Globe Awards kick off the red carpet season on TV this weekend, and the numbers are in. Boyhood is predicted to win Best Picture in the drama category. Birdman expected to take home the award for Best Musical or Comedy. And Julianne Moore and Michael Keaton are favored to win Best Acting Awards. Well, that's according to the odds makers at the Wynn Las Vegas, anyway. But today we're dipping out of the spotlight to look at 2014's sleepers, those films that didn't get a Golden Globe nod but are worthy of your attention nonetheless. Here to share her picks is Amy Diaz, editor of New Hampshire's weekly paper, The Hippo, where she compiled her list of the best films of 2014. Amy, great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Especially with the Should Have Been a Contender Awards. Okay, so let's start with the number one film on your best list of 2014, which was Guardians of the Galaxy, a blockbuster, not a Golden Globe nominee. So we're going to qualify it as a sleeper. Why isn't it a nominee?
A sleeper that made a bajillion dollars.
Exactly.
So here's my case for Guardians of the Galaxy. If you take something like The Imitation Game, which I really liked, and it has a great central performance, you know, from Benedict Cumberbatch, has a lot of great supporting actors. It's a movie about, you know, breaking the Nazi spy code. I don't want to say that it's unscrew-uppable, but that's an easy movie to get a lot of prestige for and to enjoy. A movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a comic book movie that came out in the summer from Marvel, of all people, with not just a comic book, but a comic book nobody's ever heard of, and that it would be the most fun I had at a theater last year, which it totally was. You know, we forget sometimes. It's not just about how important the movie is, the film is, but it's, did you have fun at the movies? And Guardians of the Galaxy was a lot of fun. It was such a great old-fashioned, you know, kind of sci-fi swashbuckling story. Chris Pratt was just a great center to that. He's like a new kind of Harrison Ford. So just all around a fun time, which people forget sometimes movies should also be fun occasionally.
All right. So your vote is Guardians of the Galaxy for number one film. You also do include some of the smaller independent films that didn't make the Golden Globes cut, including a film called Chef and Begin Again. Now, tell us about those two.
You know, both of those movies are examples. And in my list, I paired them with Grand Budapest Hotel as three movies that made me remember why I love movies. They made me leave feeling joy, which, again, how often does that happen? Mm-hmm. Chef is a total Jon Favreau production, writer, director, and star. And he plays a chef who leaves his restaurant, well, kind of is asked to leave his restaurant, and gets a food truck and rediscovers his creativity. So it's kind of a bit about food. It is, I think I describe it in my review as the porniest food porn that has ever porned. It will make you so hungry. And
not to put too fine a point on it.
It is so unfair that you have to see this in a theater where you're eating like popcorn or something, because there are, you know, there's pork and there's brisket and you're starving by the time you leave. But it's sort of about food and about the creative process. So Chef reminded me of how much fun making and enjoying food is. Begin Again reminded me of how much fun listening to music is, and what a great part of your life music can be, because it stars Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley. And they're two people who sort of find their way. They're kind of at low points in their life and find their way through music. And I like a lot of the things that movie does. For example, not to give too much away, I think it's kind of clear when you start watching the movie, but they're not a romantic couple.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to see a friendship form that's just a friendship. And then there's a lot of really great music and people making music scenes throughout this movie as well.
Any notable performances in either of these films?
Well, you know, Jon Favreau, who probably does not have the most serious, history as an actor, is actually really solid in Chef. It's kind of, you know, he built the role for him. It's tailor-made to him and kind of to his abilities. And I would say that the same is true of Begin Again. Keira Knightley is really charming in this. And Mark Ruffalo, who's kind of awesome always, continues to be awesome in this movie.
Here is a clip of Jon Favreau from Chef. Now, he's talking to his young son in this scene about his overnight success on Twitter.
Did you post anything since last night?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just sent a private message to somebody.
To who?
To that a-hole food critic.
You could only send private messages to people who are following you. I think you might have posted that publicly.
No, he wrote something nasty about me, and then I hit reply and let me send a message to him.
Dad, replies are public. Everybody can read them. And it looks like he retweeted it to all his 123,845 followers. And he wrote back.
What did he say?
I don't think I should read it.
Just, can you read it to me, please? Read the reply.
At Chef Carl Casper, I would rather have you sit on my face after a brisk walk on a warm day than suffer through that f***ing lava cake again.
He wrote that to me?
Okay, romantic comedies do not tend to get Oscar buzz or award buzz, but you do sing the praises of a film called The Obvious Child. Now, this is starring the Saturday Night Live alum Jenny Slate. Is this the film that was known as, quote, the abortion comedy?
Yes, it got that label, abortion comedy or abortion rom-com, it also was called. And, you know, when I watched it, I was sort of surprised. It's really more of a coming-of-age very late adolescence, you know, early adulthood kind of movie. The pregnancy is not so much, it's not a, pro-choice, pro-life debate. It's much more a point in her life where she has to think about her life and where she is and kind of what she's going to do with it. She plays a comedian who's a solid young comedian, but kind of every other facet of her life is falling apart. You know, she's just broken up with a longtime boyfriend who left her for one of her friends, and she's about to lose her day job, and kind of her parents are maybe suggesting, hey, it's time to get a real job. And so, you know, she's at that period of her life, and that's kind of what the movie is about. It's incredibly funny and sweet. I was sort of shocked at how sweet it is. While it's, you know, it's also got some nice sharp comedy, but it's has a very sweet heart at the center of it.
Okay, let's hear a clip from Obvious Child. In this scene, the character, and she's played by Jenny Slate, is talking to her friends about a guy she had a one-night stand with and how he stopped by her workplace.
I can't believe he walked into the store. That's a sign.
And that would be a sign saying...
like that I'm a present in a box and that he and I should go and start our beautiful life together.
You know, I'm not a straight guy.
Oh, what?
But my guess is that most of them would hate that gift.
What? You're saying that a guy doesn't want a drunk pregnant girl in a box?
If you're a serial killer.
Maybe you want to tell him.
No, why? Why? You don't owe him anything. You don't even know this guy.
Maybe he just deserves to know that, like, this happened, that I'm not a psycho, and I'm going to get an abortion.
You know, if I got someone pregnant, I would want to know.
And a scene there from Obvious Child, one of Amy Diaz's picks for a film worth watching, even if it didn't win any Golden Globe nominations. And let's move on to another film. This is a science fiction blockbuster called Edge of Tomorrow that didn't get a lot of traction. Why not?
Well, yeah, because it has a terrible title. And then maybe if you got past the title, you saw Tom Cruise and you're like, eh. But go see it. Go see it right now. I wish we could stop the show and all go see it together. It's so much fun. It stars Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, and it uses both of them just perfectly. You know, it kind of uses all of Tom Cruise's, particularly if you kind of remember him from the 80s and early 90s, his cockiness, and uses that perfectly. He plays a military PR guy. There's been this invasion by aliens, and he's over there to kind of help sell the war effort, and they push him into the battlefield, which he wants no part of. And he finds out after his first point in the battlefield that when he dies, he wakes up about 24 hours earlier. And that keeps happening kind of Groundhog Day style. And his character is one that is not a heroic character immediately. And so we kind of learn along with him to like him in this position. It was just so much fun.
Only one of us ever makes it.
Get in.
The only thing we haven't tried is a version where you walk away. Just go back to the farmhouse. There's a cellar. There's food. You wait there till I get back. You'll be safe.
I'm a soldier. I volunteered. I'm not walking away.
You die here. Right here. I can't save you. And if I go on and kill the Omega, you're dead. Forever.
Why does it matter what happens to me?
I wish I didn't know you. But I do.
A Edge of Tomorrow did get a lot of critical praise. It was 90% on Rotten Tomatoes for critics and audiences. So why no love from the Golden Globes, do you think, Amy? I mean, is it the genre or is it the Tom Cruise backlash?
Yeah, aliens. I think immediately you have aliens, you have romance, you know, even just comedy, even though there's a whole comedy category for Golden Globes, a lot of those aren't necessarily your big laugh out loud comedies. And so I think that anything that's not The King's Speech is just going to have a hard time, you know, breaking through.
The Golden Globes are this weekend. We're talking about 2014's best sleeper films, those that didn't make the cut but are worthy of more attention. That's according to Amy Diaz, editor of The Hippo. Now, I have to ask about a horror movie that made your list, The Babadook, if I'm saying that right. This is an Australian horror film. I've heard a lot about it. Is it as terrifying as everyone says?
It's really good. And it's funny. I saw online somebody had a blog post called The Things That I Have Mistaken for The Babadook Since I've Seen The Babadook.
Well, what is Babadook?
Well, so he's this character in a book, and this single mother played by Essie Davis is reading this book to her young son, and he's, you know, she is his sole caregiver. She really doesn't have any help. And so what I think is great about this horror movie is, you know, there's this spooky character who they read about in a book, and then maybe, you know, things start happening in the house. Is he coming out of the book? So there's that. But then also she's just on the edge with stress and exhaustion and concern for her son and kind of a lack of a personal life and all of the things that go with being a parent. So that is almost as much of the horror movie as the horror part of the movie.
It's a horror that a lot of people can relate
to. Exactly. But talk about like aliens get no love at award season. Horror movie, forget it.
All right, let's hear a clip of Essie Davis playing the mother reporting an incident to the police.
I want to report someone stalking me and my child.
Can you tell us what happened?
Somebody sent me a children's book.
And?
And it contained violent and graphic images of my child and me being murdered.
Can we have a look at the book, please?
I burnt it.
You burnt it?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it.
He's been making phone calls to me as well.
What's he been saying?
Nothing, just making these noises.
How do you know it's the same person?
Because of what he wrote in the book.
Essie Davis there from a film called The Babadook. It's an Australian film, as you can hear from the accent. Now, I have to say, I have fallen in love with her. She's the star of a series on Netflix called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. But I've heard great things about her performance here. What'd you think?
It's a really good performance. And, you know, kind of what I liked with that clip showed is a little bit of what she's saying sounds absurd. And that's kind of like parenting, actually. A lot of the things that drive you to the edge when you're a parent, if you describe them, people look at you like, is that what's driving you crazy? Because that's nuts. That's nothing. But that, you know, that's, I think that's one of the great things that this movie does and that she's able to do is both to play, you know, the person who's being preyed upon by some thing, but then also this really exhausted parent. And, you know, we should say a lot of these movies, one of the great things is that a lot of these movies are available on, you know, various streaming services or on DVD. So you can go see these. You don't have to wait, as with a lot of the big name movies, you know, that are still coming into theaters.
Like A Most Wanted Man, another performance that you praise from the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. He plays a German counter-terrorist expert who operates as a rogue agent. And he's investigating a Chechen immigrant's tie to local jihadists. Let's hear just a clip.
He doesn't want the money. He just doesn't want it.
Half radical, half rich kid, half Russian, half Chechen. Loves his mother, hates his father. You and I both know Issa Karpov has no idea what he wants.
Unmistakable voice, non-recognizable accent from Philip Seymour Hoffman, who died of a drug overdose last year. Great performance, or is there a part of, you know, the sentimental? He's done so much great work.
Well, it does remind you, I mean, even the Hunger Games, when I saw the most recent one of that, I was reminded how great he is in everything. He just brought this presence to every role, even kind of a throwaway role. This is a really great performance from him. It was so good that at a certain point, I realized I wasn't even all that interested in the action of the movie. I wanted to see this character more. And the little details that he adds to this character, there's this one scene where he's running after someone and he kind of stops and huffs and puffs. And it kind of gives you something about his character. The movie itself, though, I was thinking about this. This is kind of like The Wire of spy movies,
huh,
in that it's a movie about how the people on the kind of the bottom part of the system who are maybe trying to do well, trying to act carefully, they oftentimes get crushed or are, you know, have their plans really destroyed by people at the top of the system who maybe need to meet numbers. So if you liked The Wire, kind of that mindset, institutions and how they can have mistakes, I think that this movie is really good, and then particularly because of this performance.
Well, Amy, we have to draw to a close, but which film do you think will take home the Golden Globe for Best Picture Drama?
Well, so, you know, I did do a lot of digging around myself. Everyone seems to be saying Boyhood. That's not an unwarranted win. I mean, it took 12 years to make that movie. And I think that alone, especially for movie people, that has to be praised.
Amy Diaz here, getting us off the beaten path. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Diaz is editor of New Hampshire's weekly paper, The Hippo. And you can find her list of the best and worst films of 2014 on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we would love to hear from you. What was your favorite film of the year? You can tell us if it was a blockbuster, a sleeper, or even a guilty pleasure. Let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.